It's good to be home. Houston will not always be my home, or it's not now, but Epicenter will. There's a difference, amen? If you don't know me, my name is John Arts. I'm on the ministry team. I've been here since 06. I'm now in Juarez, Mexico, working with the youth. I usually preach, but today I'm going to teach a little bit. Rodney, those of you who don't know, when I first moved here, one of the people I lived with before Sabata was Rodney, and he had this business with the cardboard and displays, and so we worked all night till 4 o'clock in the morning. When he mentioned dishes, I looked at Bree. We were so delirious. We were trying to keep each other up. So Brianne goes, if you could pick a superpower, what would you pick? And I'd pick flying and this, and then Brianne goes, I'd pick cleaning. Sabata's brother, Kevin, he was on cardboard. He was asleep. 4 o'clock in the morning, then Rodney and I drove straight to California. And Brianne told Rodney, she goes, Rodney, never again we're doing this. My first week in Juarez, went to the restaurant, had to use the restroom, saw the M. I walked in, and there's two elderly ladies looking at me. Now, I talk fast, I move fast, but I have another gear. And I kicked in that other gear, and I left. And then I walked outside, and then it hit me, mujeres, because they don't usually ride it. So then I found the H. They just looked at me. I looked at them. No conversation. I got out of there. Probably, I don't know, a few weeks ago, maybe three, very early when I first went back down to Juarez, when I knew I was going to speak again, I felt like God wanted to do something. And it could have been during worship, could be during the sermon. Doesn't mean you're going to get hands laid on you, all those things. But I believe God wanted to finish some healings he started. The Bible says Jesus, and this isn't the message, this is just for some of you, it says Jesus laid hands on a blind man, and he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. See, what happens is when we get partial healing, we think they got a full healing. God doesn't love me. I don't have faith. Jesus didn't talk about his faith. He did it again. Mercy and grace will touch you again. And he looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. And Jesus put his hands on his eyes again, and he made him look up. See, what happens is when we get a partial healing, our inside hope looks down. But Jesus says, look up. So today, Lord, we can look up to you. When we get a partial healing, we say, touch us again. We don't look at our neighbor who got a full healing, but just we realize we draw on that power from the person that got healed next to us, and we touch him again. There was no condemnation from Jesus. There was no guilt. There was no shame. He just touched him again. When he said, I see men like shadows like trees, Jesus didn't say, there's something wrong with you. And Jesus didn't say, there's something wrong with my power. The Bible didn't explain it, friends. There's things you'll never know on earth. Put your wise in the grave and let him touch you again. So, Lord, I thank you for touching us again in the name of Jesus. If you will receive that, because what happens is we don't know how to walk out sometimes partial things. And so when you get a partial healing, a lot of times the devil will say, that's it for you. When really we need to go to Jesus and touch him again. And Jesus made him look up. Jesus made him look up. So we need to look up to him. Amen. I want to talk about the seed today. And when I say seed, I mean a promise. I mean a gift. I mean an anointing. God puts things in us as seeds. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, smallest. But when a man took it and he planted it, see what happens is we just can't analyze it. We need to take it and plant it and water it. And so in Genesis 1, it says after the fall of man, God spoke to the serpent Satan and said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. And you shall bruise his heel. Really, it's you, he shall crush your head. Speaking of the seed, capitalized. And see, when he says your seed, now notice God didn't say the Messiah. He didn't say son. He said seed. See, here's the problem a lot of believers we have that Satan knows. Satan, when he gets the seed, he knows he gets the harvest. See, there's books you'll never hear about because Satan took the seed. Churches, you will never know, started and fall because Satan took the seed. There's young people that won't go on mission trips because Satan took the seed. See, when you get the seed, you get the harvest. And see, Satan knows, because we got to remember our life is very short, but Satan's been here all the time. He saw God take a boy that was in a field, not chosen by his dad, become king. He saw the seed. He saw Mary had a baby. It was a seed. He didn't say son. Satan tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby. See, Herod, when he says there was another, see, Herod's on the throne. Boom. Oh, there's a king of the Jews. He tried to kill him as a baby. Why? Because it threatened his throne. You got to understand, Herod, when Jesus was going to be grown up, Herod be dead. What does he care? His lineage. Satan cares what attacks his throne. So he's worried about what's in you, the seed, the harvest. And we need to protect the seed as though it is the harvest. Because we just think it's a seed. It's just a baby. Now, Mary didn't fully understand, but still she's protected him. God says, go to Egypt, because out of Egypt I called my son. See, God called the Egyptians out of Egypt. It was wrong the first time. They didn't obey. So he called Jesus again, out of Egypt I called my son, and he made it right the second time. See, God can reverse and change and redeem what you messed up. See, well, he'll take the seed and he'll, and see, I remember, it was some of us went to Mexico. We were on a mission trip to war. Some of us went, and we were all seated on the plane. And I bought the tickets. I knew where everybody was sitting. And this lady walks up, the woman that was on the trip with us in front of me, her seat, her sisters and all this. A woman walked up and she goes, you're in my seat. She just got up, didn't question it. I put my hand on her shoulder. I go, stay seated. I go, ma'am, let me see your ticket. It said C-13. But there was a little word. It said gate. See, we got to understand, when you fly, they'll put the number, they'll put the letter, then the row. On your ticket, they put the row, then the letter. So very nicely, very kindly, I said, that's the gate. Because she was challenging that, right? And then I looked down, and I go, you're back there. And the girl that was on the mission, she goes, hee hee. And of course, I laughed a little loud so the lady could hear it. See, what happens is Satan tries to remove you from your seat. You're in the wrong seat. Now, she didn't even check. And what happens is there's a place of authority. When I go to Juarez, there's a place of authority for me. It's with the youth. It's not in Tokyo. It's not in Russia. It's not in North Korea. It's not in Houston. It's in Juarez. And when I'm sitting there, the devil will come and says, you're in my seat. Because what happens is we instantly get up. It says, God's given you a promise. You're going to have a business. He comes along and says, your family's never had a business, never been any successful. You're in my seat. And we check it. We just get up. We don't check it. But I paid for the ticket. See, Jesus paid the price for your gifts and talents. It's not based on what you can do. It's not based on your background. But we instantly get up. You're called to have a business, and he just takes the seed because Satan knows it's the harvest. Herod tried to kill all the babies. When he couldn't find Jesus, he tried to wipe out all the babies. Why? Because he's not taking a chance. Satan believes in your potential more than you do because he's seen it. He knows God took an orphan girl like Esther and made her queen. He took a baby that they said, you're illegitimate, and he made a Messiah. And then they put him on the cross, and Satan thought it was done. But the Bible says if the rulers of this world knew what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan didn't know Jesus was going to rise from the dead. See, you have seeds in you that you need to protect like it's the harvest. Because what you value, you will protect. And we go, I got a word. I got a promise. I'm not talking about just prophetic. It's a gift. I'm talking about what God speaks to you and you're quiet. Because the Bible says man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He did not say man will not live by bread alone, but by everything my prophet says. Because what we want is we want to skip the prayer time, skip the intimacy time, and prophet, tell me my life. Tell me the things God has in the secret place, but you're going to tell me. Because a lot of times he just tells us stuff that we weren't thinking about. We're here. I, probably 8 years ago, I was in Juarez, and I met he goes, there's AME, it's an organization that's all over Mexico, different groups. And so he goes, hey, the president of Juarez, you can meet him. So I met him. He was like all strict. And at the end of the meeting, he says, John, we open it up to you, whatever you want. And I'm getting up. I'm not even talking to him. Out of my mouth goes, I think I'm supposed to go to Mexico City. And he doesn't speak English. He goes, I'm going next week. Come with me. So I go to Mexico City. It's a great service, awesome service. I get in the car with the pastor. Houston has 4 million people. We have, what, 4 Christian radio stations? So I turn to the radio, and I'm thinking, man, there's another reason why I'm in Mexico City. Wasn't a prophetic word. wasn't from a prophet. It was God just putting it in my heart, giving me the seed, giving me the seed. So I went to Mexico City to water the seed. I knew there was a reason. You have to pursue and you have to follow it. And for the seed to grow and stretch roots. So he goes, oh, we don't have Christian radio here. He goes, it's illegal. Because Mexico has in their constitution, they cannot promote one religion over another. So I was like, okay, you know, I started doing this investigation. All these religious broadcasters are trying to make the president start, you know, sign an amendment to the constitution, which they do a lot. So he's meeting with them. Nothing happened all these times. This last time I was in Juarez, here's Mexico City. Here's Juarez. I'm going to the AME meeting locally, and I see the pastors that I knew from Mexico City because we all went as a group of eight. I got to know the pastors in Mexico City. I stay with them. I love them. They never went back. And I saw him. I saw his little pin. I said, AME. I said, are you an officer now? He goes, yeah, I'm vice president. I said, I want to take you and your wife out to lunch. I just went. They have a small church. They don't have a lot of money. They're not famous. They're not on Instagram. They're not on Facebook. They're not, you, no one would know them, but God knows them. I went to honor them because they're in a city that had, they have paid a price. They have watered the ground. I'm coming in after them. Jesus told the disciples, others have done the hard work. He told the disciples, others have done, you're ending their labor. So you honor who went before. You honor who paid the price. You honor not just popular people or famous people or people that get you on the front row. You honor who God tells you. So I'm sitting there, and I know they probably have jobs. And I says, do you guys have jobs? And the wife goes, and pastor goes, Fernando goes, do you remember the word you gave my wife? I go, no. He goes, I don't think you would. And her hair was kind of puffy. And she goes, you called me up. And she goes, you put your hand on me. And she wasn't already funny, but I was like, I probably did. And she goes, you're going to stand before many pastors and speak. And she's officer in AME now. And I go, were you in AME? And she goes, no. She goes, that's what I'm doing. So I said, what are you doing? She goes, I work Mary Kay Ash. She was all proud. How is it? And I said, Pastor Fernando, what are you doing? He goes, I work at the radio station. I go, whose radio station? He goes, my radio station. What do you guys play? Christian music preaching. I go, let me get this straight. You're not allowed to have a Christian radio station. And his wife goes like this, no. But you have a station 24 hours a day that plays Christian preaching. He goes, how? He goes, I went to AME, and you try to buy hours. And he goes, instead of an hour, let's have our own station. They said, no, they voted against it. So he did it. He goes, the Holy Spirit taught me. He goes, last year was so hard. He taught me how to do the permits, and he's in three different cities. I told him about Mexico City. He goes, let's go. I go, I want to reach the poor first. He goes, 2 days ago, I was telling someone we've got to reach the poor first. And I go, what's the name of the station? It kind of translates sound with a difference. So I said, we can't just have a radio station. We got to have a billboard. Because people got to know about it. So here, over 20 million people in Mexico, and their car can be their church. And then I said, I want to get local pastors that are on fire that preach 5-10 minutes, have an altar, and then they'll say, this is pastor from this zone. So if you're listening, you can hear this is a pastor from this zone. I go, I don't want religious people. I want on fire people. I'm in the church, and this is not about me preaching. I was in the church in Juarez, and I know a young kid, I just like his fire and stuff. And out of my mouth, I go, your voice is going to be in Mexico City. I want you to preach in 10 minutes in the station here. Put it on. While you're sleeping, we're going to play it. He's all, that's a confirmation I got. I said, so it's not just about that. What's your point? When you water the seed, your roots grow, and you grab things from this soil that aren't in this soil. And so when I was in Juarez, I went to water the seed. Now, going 3 days, 4 days isn't enough. There has to be a time when you water the seed, the roots grow. But for roots to grow, it takes oxygen, water, and the soil can't be too hard. That means the soil of our heart can't be too hard. So the roots scratch. What happens is we see a little progress. We see a little healing. We think God's done. We have to keep watering and believing because as those roots grow, they grab the nutrients. See, the seed in me for Mexico City, people would ask me, how's the radio station? Well, you know, these broadcasters still haven't had the amendment, but here's a pastor in Juarez who God taught 24 hours a day, and he taught. See, John, I don't need your connections like you need my connections, and so as you stretch out and believe me, I will pull from nutrients that you weren't even on. See, the radio station in Mexico City, here he is in Juarez. So as you water the seeds and protect the seeds, because the devil, he knows the value in you more than you do, and when you begin to protect it, when you get the promise and the word and the radio station, why? Over 20 million people, I told the pastor, here's your church, here's your influence, here's a radio station's influence. While you're sleeping, they can hear your voice. And man, I go, I want programs for moms and teens and suicide and rap and all those things. Why? Because the radio is influence and God's voice is going to go out. His voice will go out. But if Satan takes the seed, you'll never know what you miss. I told someone one day, I said, what would we miss if Michelangelo didn't paint and a sculptor? And they started naming all this stuff. I go, no, the truth is we wouldn't know because it wouldn't exist. How many things do we not know that just because Satan took the seed?
How many people that are not in political office because Satan told us to take the seed? He attacks the seed like it's a harvest, and we protect the seed like it's not that valuable. It's just a baby. It's just a seed. No, it's a Messiah, Mary, and you got to protect it. And even when Mary didn't understand it, he said, go to Egypt. She went to Egypt. Why would she go back to the place that Israel just came out of? He said, go to Egypt. I'm going to protect my son. We have to trust him. We see, when we see the harvest, they go, oh, see the harvest. When you protect the seed like it's a harvest, and you water it and believe him and trust him, and you see that healing, and you see that movement, and you see that prophetic, and you see those dreams, he can stretch your roots out. But you got to keep giving the roots oxygen and water. You can't have a hard heart. That means when Satan says, move, you're in my seat. You're the wrong gender. You're the wrong background. I know your past. Don't just get up and move. You have to look at the ticket. And there was one word, ticket. I said, that's the gate. One word from God, one promise from God, and you don't move. She got up. She got up and didn't even check. But you know what's funny is? She saw her ticket before she sat down. We got the word. We got the promise. But when Satan comes, did God really say? We just move from our seat. And she would have sat somewhere she was not called. There'd be room in the back. See, we have to tell the devil, get behind me. This is my seat. It's my assigned seat. From United, because the price was paid. Let me tell you, before you were born, Jesus already knew he was going to pay the price for the call on your life. And it was not based on your background, your history, your dad's, and one word. And so what happens is sometimes just a feeling will make you move your seat. It's just a feeling of inadequacy. I don't belong here. I was in Mexico City, Ame. All these pastors, each pastor represented many, many, many churches. And I thought, how did I get here? I don't understand what they're saying. I'm falling asleep. The pastor that brought me, he goes, John, more coffee, more coffee. I go, how did I get here? It wasn't about meeting him. It was about the radio station. I knew there was something more. In you, that seed knows there's something more, and it begins to push. Because what happens is there's a lot of seeds in us. They're dormant, but they're not dead. And we think they're dead because there's no movement. But you water that thing and give it oxygen, and all of a sudden it presses out. See, the roots press out when there's soil and there's water and there's things. And so we see that. And you know, I listened to a testimony. This guy was on. He goes, I saw Billy Graham on a plane one time. Billy Graham, if you don't know, he's with the Lord, but he was America's probably greatest evangelist, and the world knows who he is. And he's just a humble guy on the farm. He's spirit filled. This minister. He goes up to Billy Graham. He goes, now Billy Graham has farming experience. He goes, I believe the next harvest is going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. Billy Graham goes, I believe that. And Billy Graham said, let me tell you something about harvest. It's short. See, the planting takes time, and the watering takes time, and the believing takes time. But Billy Graham says, it's short. You read about healing, and you talked about healing, and you all those years about healing, but healing can be short. See, Jesus spent 30 years not doing the ministry, and he was with the Father, but when he says, stretch your arm out, it was short. See, harvest can be short. And so what happens is, oh, there's a harvest. If we protect the seed like it's a harvest, if we water the seed like it's the harvest, then we will see the harvest. But if we treat the seed like it's just a seed, it's just a baby, no, it's a Messiah. And Mary didn't understand, but she guided the God. Angel directed her, go here and go here. And God will put safety. Don't share your word with everybody. Not everybody's going to believe you. You got to get around that atmosphere of soil that feeds that soil. And then when you can get strong, but the Holy Spirit wants to say, stay seated. It took someone behind her. There's a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walking it. And it'll say, stay seated. The price has been paid. Now, he doesn't use the tone I use. That's the gate. Because she came so strong. Didn't say, can you check this and that? So obviously she didn't fly much. She just came with her ticket. You're in my seat. Listen here, Karen. If your name's Karen, don't get offended. Probably was Karen. She was a pre-Karen. She's a prophetic Karen. That's where Alan's laughing because he could hear my tone. That's the gate. The whole plane heard it. So she walked away embarrassed. So Satan tempted Jesus. And the Bible says he came back at a more opportune time. Notice he didn't say he left forever. We act like Jesus was tempted once. A more opportune time. You're in church. Woo, good message, John. Next week, you're by yourself. That feeling of inadequacy comes. Get up, you're in my seat. And we move. And we move. This morning I went to Walmart. I was going to grab some seeds. And I walked in to the gardening. I go, where's all your seeds? He goes, well, if they're in season, they're to the right. If they're out of season, they're gone. Obviously, winter's coming up. I went in, no seeds. I saw Miracle-Gro, stuff for the soil, but no seeds. I saw pots, but no seeds. We have podcasts, but no seeds. We go to church services, but we'd have no seeds. You laid hands on me, but I got no seeds. See, God needs seeds. So all the stuff that we do, but there's no seeds. Lay hands on me, but there's no seeds. I could buy all those products, but nothing would grow because there's no seeds. You have the seeds, my friend. I do not have the seeds. Heaven gave you the seeds. And if you don't know what the seeds is, it's because it's covered with too much. You need to water the seed, feed the seed, protect the seed, protect the baby as though it's already on the throne. We just act like it's a seed. It's just a seed. And Satan comes along and says, you're just 20. You can't go to university. Dad didn't go to university. Mom didn't go to university. And it's just a seed. John, you'll never start a Christian radio station in Mexico because the government said, I had a lot of prophetic words before I left. I'm thankful for that. One of the words was Carol. Carol didn't know about the radio station. She says, John, I just see God's hand going, moving the government out of the way. So when I thought of that word, when I said, and so you water the seed, protect the seed, feed the seed, love the seed, as and Mary did. And she pondered in her heart, and she didn't understand everything. If you're waiting to understand everything, you will not protect the baby as though it's the Messiah. You have to trust him, not understand him. You have to trust him when the healing's partial. You have to trust him when you don't feel like it. You have to trust him when you're still single. You have to trust him when your bank account says negative and it says a million. A millionaire doesn't need to worry he's going to be rich. It's the poor man. And Jesus gives you promises to give you a future and a hope. And if you look at one thing from Genesis to Revelation, he is faithful. He's faithful in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. When man was not faithful, when he made a covenant with Abraham, he walked through. He put Abraham to sleep. This is not about you, Abraham. This is about me. And he walked through the cut animals. God made a covenant with himself. He cannot lie. He's not going to cheat himself or lie to himself. Revival will come. But how many revivals have been stopped because Satan took the seed? Pensacola, John Kilpatrick, huge revival. 4.5 million in 5 years, and the man that prophesied the revival says, you weren't God's first choice. He went to another pastor. He said, I don't want it. Because he saw the mess. He saw the expense. But he didn't see the 4.5 million people. Because his answer might have been a little different. See, we want to know, God, what's the harvest? Is it worth me going to church? What's the harvest? Is it worth me investing in? What's the harvest? See, some of you need to invest in yourself more than you invest in social media, what the president says, what this says. I didn't need a prophet to give me another confirmation about the radio. I needed God to touch me and move. And he may give you a prophet, but if you're waiting for a prophet, friend, he is the spirit of prophecy. He's above every prophet. He's an evangelist above all evangelists. He's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He just doesn't have wisdom and revelation. He is the spirit of revelation. And when you look up to Jesus, not a minister, not an anointing, not hands. Those all things are great. But in that Walmart, all the shelves were full. How many ministers? You know what? When my dad grew up, there wasn't this. There wasn't podcasts and this and this. You can feed yourself all that. But God needs the seeds in you. He needs to say, God, here's my seeds you can water. Here's my seeds I can trust you. I don't understand, God. This is a baby. And even when it's not uncomfortable. Mary got the word, a sore will pierce your heart. That's not a fun word. Paul got a word, you're going to jail. When Paul was alive, people didn't even believe he was an apostle. They challenged him on that. But we say, oh, Paul's the greatest apostle. Yeah, when he was alive, he didn't go through all that. If you don't want any manure and no oxen, then you're not going to have the benefits of it. So is everything peachy green in Juarez? No. But it's my seat. I can't move from my seat. Because my ticket says John Youth. I was down there. I said, I want to do a pizza party. I'll pay for the pizza, have a big youth event. And she goes, the pastor goes, that's great, John. I don't even want to have you speak to the adults. I said, no, I don't want to speak to the adults. I'm here for the youth. I'm not moving from my seat. I'm not preaching. I told Blaine, I'm not preaching just to preach. I'm not coming just to preach, just to have your voice. It's not my voice on the radio. I need your voice and your voice and your voice, pastor. Why? Because when I use an interpreter, sometimes the mics are bad. I'll give them the good mic. I go, they don't need to hear me. They need to hear you. They need to hear Jesus. They don't need to see your anointing, your gift, and your calling. They need to see Jesus. And I'll give them the good mic, and I'll be close to them. You need to hear me, but they need to hear you. We need to hear God over every voice. There's promises that no prophet will ever give you. It's in your prayer closet, and if you don't spend time in the darkness of that soil, you won't know the seed that exists. Podcast, anointing, hands laid on, but no seeds. See, this church has many seeds, and the growth has come up. And when the growth has come up, God, we believe you for every seed, every promise, every book, every song, every political office, every millionaire, billionaire. God, I thank you, Lord. And it's not just about being famous. It's about being effective. John Wesley, before the Methodist Church is what it is now, was amazing revival, amazing this and all that. He learned that from his mom. So everywhere he went in a revival, it was the instructions of his mom. That's why he called it Methodist, because his mom had methods. So his mom trained him. So maybe you won't go, but maybe you'll raise her. Maybe you'll raise her, encourage her, give money to her. Or is it just a seed? They're just young people. They're just old people. Move from your seat. No, we look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look at what was written down in the Word. And what changed was the order. Gate to seat. We need to put our lives in order. Meaning, we need to give him our order, and he takes our. I'm this many years. I'm going to retire. I'm going to live here. That's your order. Give it to him. I'm young. I got to go to university, college. Everybody asking what I do. His order is go into your prayer closet and listen to his voice. See, it had to be an order. One little thing. C-16. Gate. Get behind me. That's the gate. Meaning, that does not apply to me. You can hold your ticket. You can stand in the aisle. But the stewardess is going to come and make you sit down. The Holy Spirit comes and he makes Satan sit down and say, he listened to his voice. Because when we walked through the gate, 10 minutes before you knew where you were sitting, the prophet came and said, you're going to have a business. 2 weeks later, you forget. You're in my seat. 4 words and she gets up. Didn't even check. But she felt a hand on her shoulder. Very nicely, I touched her. Very nicely. I did. Stay seated. And the Holy Spirit says, stay seated. That's your call. That's your destiny. Some seeds are seasonal. Some are transitional. So, Lord, I thank you for every seed that you planted in us. Dang, you play a little music. God, I thank you. You're going to do everything this morning that you want to do. We give you the order, God. When the seed is in the pack in the store, there's a light. But when it's in the ground, it's a dark. And the seed doesn't know which way's up. When you water it, the roots go down and the shoot goes up. It already knows because it's in its DNA. It's programmed in the seed. And his DNA is in you. How are we going to do the revival? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? God, we don't ask you those questions. We just say we water the seeds. What you've started in revival, you say, touch us again, God. God, we look up to you. We don't look at any other church in the world, any other past revivals, but to learn from them. And then we know it takes prayer. Early in the morning, Jesus would get away. Late at night, and he'd spend time with the Father. But his harvest was quick. Billy Graham, let me tell you something about harvest season. It's fast. The plowing is work. The pulling of weeds is work. The believing and praying when you don't see it, when the doctor says, if they're practicing physicians, you need to take it to the great physician. What do you say? So the doctor comes and says, you have this, and instantly we get up from that place of faith and healing. We just move. When 2 weeks before in the service, we felt them. So God, I thank you. We thank you when we feel your spirit, but you're just as faithful when we don't. You're just as faithful, and you're just as good. You're not good when we feel you. You're always good. What do you see? I see men walking around as trees. He didn't say you faithless. Jesus touched him again. So, Lord, I thank you for touching the seeds again and every dormant seed. 8 years, the radio station. Some words in my business in Juarez, 20 years. What's the business for? What's the money for? To make a difference in people's lives so more kids can eat, more churches can be built, more people can enter the kingdom. God, and I pray for the people that don't feel like they have any seeds. They don't feel like they have any promises. They don't feel like, I don't have this, I have that. If you sit at his feet, Your first promise is child. That's greater than any other promise, son and daughter. And when the devil comes to say, move, you're in my seat, get behind me. You're back there. God, I thank you. You're the author and you're the finisher. You're Alpha and then you're Omega. And you're in the middle. And like Mary, we trust you with the seed. We trust you with the baby that's a promise. Because that baby's going to grow to be a child. Satan tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby before his momentum. See, Satan doesn't want your momentum. Doesn't want your prayer life getting momentum and traction and your faith getting traction and you believe. So, Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you for giving us the faith that the devil has for us. He's more scared of you than you are him. Lord, I thank you the potential and the problem. And Lord, I thank you we're going to begin to protect the seeds as though we're protecting the harvest, because it is. God, we don't want to be people that don't write the books because he took a seed, or don't have sermons, or don't have churches, or don't have political offices, or don't do mission trips, or don't go to universities and discover things, and don't have good families because he took a seed. Mom had divorced, dad had divorced, alcoholic, you know. If I get the seed, I get the harvest. If I kill the baby, I kill the Messiah. Satan didn't wait till Jesus was grown. Herod didn't want someone challenging his throne. God, I thank you for the seeds in the ground from years past and prayer events and Shepherd's Church and GJ's and before Pastors Easy and Lena were pastors in meetings that were had deposits. I thank you for those seeds, God. I thank you for those seeds, God. Before there was even a church, Lena, there were seeds deposited. Before you knew you were going to be a pastor, I thank you for those seeds. Faithful people. Many have went to heaven, but they were faithful in their call. Not wanting to be well known, but wanting to be effective. Wanting to make change to those who were out in front of them. Didn't see stages and world and events. They just saw lives. I thank you, Lord, for those people. I thank you for those seeds, God. I thank you for many will come out of this church, God, not wanting to be famous or well known, but wanting to be effective and change lives and go to countries that are dangerous, places that are closed. And God, I thank you, there's no closed area for you. When you say go, we go. And we're going to do our assignments. We're going to sit where you call us to sit, God. Not when it's comfortable, not when we just need something. It's just a seed. No, it's an apple tree. It's just a seed. No, it's an orchard. It's just a seed. No, it's a juice company. It's just a seed. No, it's applesauce. Don't ever say it's just a. It's just a desire I have for a radio station. Yeah, that radio station's in a place where it's 5 times bigger than Houston. They have nothing. Some 18-year-old girl that wants to commit suicide can hear something while I'm sleeping. See, it's about the kingdom. That's one thing Herod understood. I'll be dead when that boy gets up, but it's about my kingdom. We need to be about his kingdom. See, there's two kingdoms, kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. Jesus says there's two, those that have life and those that do not. Those that have the Son have life, and those that don't have the Son don't have life. That's all there is, friends. There's not the kingdom of North Korea, South Korea. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And Herod says he's trying to take my kingdom. So, God, I thank you. We are here to promote your kingdom. Stand up. Lord, I thank you. If there's seeds in you that are dormant that you want active, you can even come up. Lord, I thank you. We trust your kingdom, God. We promote your kingdom, the kingdom of light. Jesus said, greater works than you'll do. I'm not losing my seat. I'm next to the Father. You're going to do greater works. And we think, oh, you're going to do miracles and you're greater than me. Jesus said, no. Greater works than you shall do. But he's still at the right hand of the Father. Jesus ain't moving from his seat. Greater works you shall do. And let me throw this out to you, because this has something to do with the epicenter. Elisha did double the miracles. Woo, double. But it was Elijah who was transfigured. It was Elijah who was taken up. Jesus said, spirit of Elijah. Why? Because the plower ain't moving his place. There's something about plowing. And this is a plowing place. Not Elisha, not the double. See, we think double is greater. Greater miracles is greater. Friends, no one's greater than Jesus. He ain't losing his seat. There is no question. Jesus knows who he is, and he wants you to know who you are. And in this church is the spirit of Elijah. That means plowers. That means some of us are going to go to wars and not be known, so others can be on the radio station and be known, but we still give glory to God. Why? Because it's about his kingdom. It's not about your name. God's tired of churches that want to lift up their name. Friends, we are here to lift up the name of Jesus. And when you lift up the name of Jesus, sickness goes down. Hopelessness goes down. Suicide goes down. All those things. I'm not going to war to make my name for myself. I'm going to war so I can pray for a 13-year-old girl that wants to commit suicide that one day is going to be apostolic and prophetic. Friends, it's about Jesus and his name. That radio station, I told that young kid, your voice is going to be in Mexico City. I wasn't thinking about my voice, but your voice better promote his voice, because his voice is the one that changes it. There's one name above Epicenter, Hillsongs, Bethel. That's the name of Jesus, friends. They're healed by the name of Jesus, not John, not Paul, even the great apostles. Don't look at us like we did some marvelous thing. It is Jesus. And when you care about his kingdom, you begin to value his seeds, those that are not yours. You're a steward. Mary was a steward. Joseph was a steward. He's not your son. There'll come a day when he outgrows you and he moves away, but you're a steward. But while you're a steward, you need to care for this seed and love this seed and feed this seed, because that baby's going to be a Messiah. You're a steward. I'm entrusting you, my son, Mary. I'm entrusting you, my son, Joseph. And so you may have a ministry name, but he's entrusting you that ministry name, and it's not yours. And he may entrust you a business, but that's not your money. It's his money. And one day you're going to stand and give an account. Owners don't give an account. Stewards do. We're stewards of everything. You don't own your kids. You don't tell them where to go to college. You say, let's go to the throne and let God tell us who we are. You do not own your wife. You do not own your husband. You're stewards. Honey, let's go before the Lord and let him speak to our lives. It's not about going to Yale or Harvard. They may go to Yale or Harvard, but that's not your choice. Before the foundation of the world, I was not raised a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 13 years old. My dad hated it. Heaven didn't ask my dad what he thought. He said, John, this is the plan I have for your life. Before I was saved, I'll never forget it, in the sixth grade, the teacher goes, draw out your dream. Before I was a Christian, I drew a line, I drew a hill, I drew a cross, and I drew a person working. Before I knew there was a Calvary, that was a seed. So, Lord, I thank you for every seed that is in here that people think is dead, but it's just dormant. And today, we water it. If you want to water your seeds, raise your hands. Lord, we water our seeds today. And we extend our roots. And we recognize the seed is a harvest. Say it. The seed is a harvest. Protect it. Love it. Care for it like it's a harvest. Oh, Jesus is a Messiah. No, he was a Messiah when he was a baby. When Simeon saw Jesus, he goes, now I can die because I saw the Messiah. How can you just look at a baby and say, because God promised him? No, he said the Holy Spirit was on him. Before the veil was ripped, the Holy Spirit was on him. That was a man that spent a lot of time with God. So God, help us spend more time with you than social media, or who's doing this or who's doing that, or who's popular, what church this and what pastor did this and what pastor didn't do this. And what God, Jesus, what you doing? I'll be about my Father's business. Jesus didn't wake him and go, what's Herod doing? What's this person doing? What's that person doing? Father, what are we doing? And the scripture says many needed to be healed, but Jesus withdrew himself. And we think as ministers, we need to meet every need. No, he meets the needs we're called to meet. Because it's not about you. It's about his name. You'll do greater works. Spirit of Elijah. You'll do greater works. Friends, nobody is standing at the right hand of the Father but Jesus. See, he's promoted more than he was when he created the world because of the cross and what he went through. And he knows who he is. And when the voice comes to say, move, do not move. Say, I ain't moving. That's the gate. That's the gate. Epicenter. Yo, no, revival's not now. That's the gate. You'll never be effective. That's the gate. You'll always be in this building. That's the gate. If you think we'll always be in this building, and I ain't got nothing wrong with this building, friends, you don't know God, that he what he's promised. And so, I'll end with this. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they would name names to God. The God who heals. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, my righteousness. And they would name gods as they became a revelation. And they would name him as he revealed himself. But he didn't lose the names behind. He just added a name. Jesus comes along, condenses all those words, and says, Father. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Jesus said, our Father. He didn't say, my Father and your God. Our Father. And because he's your Father, you have what he has. And you have access. The problem is you don't know it. Just sit there. Be limited. Don't move too far from your seat. Don't do too much. Don't believe too much. Don't dream too much, Pastor Allen. Don't do that. No. See, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who took and he planted a mustard seed. He didn't say he analyzed, judged, tested, looked at. A five-year-old girl can take a mustard seed, plant it, and can grow, and not realizing how it grows because she trusts the process. God, we trust the process on the anvil. He took the seed and he planted it. He didn't put it on his dresser. He didn't just throw it. He took and planted. And that seed became the tallest of all the garden. And then it made shade for the birds. So Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you that we're going to water our seeds, protect them as though it's the harvest, because it is. And when Satan, we have the same love and protection that Satan has to attack. And when he comes to steal the seed, we are protecting our harvest. Her seed will crush your head. In Jesus' name.